Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer podcast. I'm Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is Mistform Dan Ryan.
I mean, you could have gone with so many.
I don't know how
I feel about mist form.
There was like, just something about you turning into mist and floating around that really just made me laugh.
I do that so I can look at boobs.
So creepy. With the haunting season upon us, and apparently the voyeur season upon us, Dan and I have decided to rank every Castlevania game. Process that rib, because the Stone Age Gamer podcast starts now.
I'm already really excited.
Hi everyone, this is episode 381. It's the week of October 22nd, 2021, and Dan and I have switched places where he is now the sick one, and I am the slightly less sick one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like,
now, I'm considerably less sick, but still.
The burning in the throat is pretty sweet. Like, I definitely don't have COVID. Like, I get tested weekly, but...
It sounds like you probably have what I had, whatever was floating around over here, too.
Yeah, we kept the kids home from school today, and Tiff took them, and they all got COVID tested today. You know, because, like, Katie is the one who was, like, yesterday, I'm starting to feel like my throat is kind of, I was like, fuck you, because now I know what's coming. It sucks, man. Way to be a dick, kid. So they took, Tiff took them today, and, like... None of them have COVID, so like I'm straight there, but it's not great, Chris.
It's not
ideal.
I mean, I'm still, you know, hacking up stuff. Ellie's still coughing a lot too. She lost a bunch of sleep last night from, she was up coughing up all sorts of phlegm and whatnot, and she was COVID tested and strep tested and was negative for both. We were but felt pretty confident that it was strep, because Karen had been in contact with somebody with strep recently, and we're like, well, that must be it. But no, it wasn't. It's just this. It's just a bitch of a cold. So it's fun.
It's the cold getting back, being like, oh, you fuckers missed me, didn't you? I didn't see any of you last year.
I mean, it's the fucking weather. It happens to me. I mean,
every year.
Every single year, when it's just like, all right, here we are, it's fall. Nah, never mind, it's fucking July.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wearing shorts and sweating my ass off outside. Like, it's October, man. Come on, get your shit together. And then this morning, it was like, okay, it's October
48
now.
Degrees outside. I know, like, it was fucking 82, I think, on Saturday. And this morning, I got up to go to work, and it was 48. I was like, my balls don't know what to do, Chris. They're just big, small, big. I fucking know. God damn it.
Oh, I would love to spend time talking about not only your balls, but...
but the...
This stupid fucking Kotaku article that they've been talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't read past the headline because I just don't want to. And
no, she should be so much more emotional because she's a girl, Chris.
Apparently, they literally say in the article, somebody I follow on Twitter had commented on this, I can't believe they actually said she should smile. And I was like, oh man,
you should smile more, sweetie.
That's brutal. But no, somebody else I really respect was like, I don't agree with this position, but I think it's a really well-written piece and all that. I'm like, wow, you're being too kind. I just hate this take so very much. And I also hate... I'm just fuming at this constant, like, we're doing the reverse backlash thing. Oh, Dread was amazing. You know what else was amazing and really misunderstood? Metroid Other M. That game was really, really good. And stop, you just didn't understand it. Stop it. Stop it. Please stop it.
Stop it.
Don't
read the internet. Listen to our podcast.
God.
This is the only source of truth, justice in the world. This is the Stone Age Gamer podcast every week.
I'm flipping through, and you should never read the comments, but I'm flipping through this Twitter feed about just these people jumping in. Somebody posted this video recently about how the translation was bad, and they changed a handful. Like, there was a handful of things in the translation that weren't like direct translations that really changed the meaning of certain things.
Sure.
And so I'm poking through this video. I'm like, okay, yeah, that does change things, but it doesn't fix any of the other problems. And it doesn't even fix any of my problems with the story being, one, really stupid. The whole, like, other mother thing. It doesn't change the fact that it runs directly opposite. Like, it really, really clashes with a bunch of stuff. And they're like, oh, I can just turn on the Varia function in my suit. No, that's not how that's... It's never worked that way. It's always been the Varia suit or the gravity suit, not the gravity function on your power suit. Like, that's never been how it worked. There's so much wrong with that game, and I really enjoy playing it. I think it's a very fun game, and does a lot of stuff right, but there's so much stuff wrong, and all this, it's still with the PTSD facing Ridley. That's the one it bothers me so much. Like, you don't understand, Ridley killed her parents when she was a kid. Like, yeah, and then she killed Ridley. And then she killed Ridley. And then she killed Ridley.
Like a few fucking times.
And then she killed Ridley. And then he showed up again, and that's when she was like, "No, Ridley!" Like, turns into a whimpering, cowering, loses control of her power suit. Oh no! Pontificating on a guy walking through a door. Like, there's so much stupid in that game, and it's driving me nuts with these warriors are just coming out of the woodwork. Like, no, you just didn't understand it, man. The game's genius, and it's like, it's reminding me of the people that were like all gung-ho about how the Star Wars prequels are these misunderstood works of genius, and it's like,
no, they're shit.
You just gotta stop. Like, could you just like them for what they are and stop trying to prop them into something that they're not?
Like, but they're fucking terrible.
I really enjoy Metroid Other M. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah, I mean,
really enjoy it.
There's plenty of fucking terrible shit that I enjoy. I can't think of any off the top of my head because I have impeccable taste, but I'm sure there is.
You enjoy my company, for one.
I do. That's a fucking... It's terrible. You're an awful, awful person, and I love you so much.
And I don't know if that says more about me or more about you, but...
Who knows?
You hadn't really played anything this week, right?
Yeah, no, like, I barely even had a chance to play fucking Metroid this week. We've got, we're doing stuff for Evan and Angie's wedding, so we're, like, prepping stuff for that, and then my, she's not my cousin, but, you know, like, we're from Jersey, so, like, everybody's fucking related. Like, oh, that's my aunt, and you're my cousin, and, you know, like, that kind of family. She's having another baby, so, you know, the first baby shower you have, the second baby you have a sprinkle, apparently, which, I don't know, man, like, if there is anything that is a bigger example of white people shit than it's having a fucking sprinkle.
Baby sprinkle.
But anyway, We had to do a bunch of stuff for that. So, like, I was fucking rolling diapers for the diaper cake and, you know, all that kind of shit all fucking week. And Tiff was baking, and it was just, I just got the grapple beam, which is, like, nice. Not even, it's, like, 20 minutes after I played last week. I was like, yeah, I'm going to try and fucking finish it for next week. And I was like, or I'm going to play, like, 20 more minutes of it, and that's about it. And that's where I did
finish my 100% run.
That's absurd. I'm not doing that.
You really should. I did not think I was going to do it, but you totally should, because it's actually fun. And is I have it? Not 100%ed Zero Mission. I didn't 100% Fusion. The only reason I 100%ed Other M was because it literally just pointed on the map where to go, and that was the only way to see. I knew there was a whole other boss, so I was like, all right, fine. Mm. If there's a whole other secret boss, I'll go ahead and 100% this one. But yeah, because like stuff like Zero Mission, you get those really complicated Shine Spark moves, right? Like,
yeah.
There's one where you got to, like, morph ball and stuff, and that was always I've never been good enough to pull that off. And then I saw videos of the Shine Spark puzzles in this game, and I was like, "Woo, yeah, I can't do that." And then I actually tried it, and it turns out I can do that. And, like, it took me a bunch of tries, but it was really fun. Like, I actually had a blast doing it. There was no point where I was like, "Ah, I'm so close to doing this. It's making me so mad trying to get this stupid missile tank." Like, I was ready to just... I was more than willing to just stop and be like, okay, I'm good, I'm done with this game. But really, just going through and exploring and finding everything was legitimately fun, and I was very happy about that.
All right.
It was a hoot. It didn't take all that long either. It was overall, like, between beating the game and then getting all the stuff, it wound up at like 10 hours total.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. I was very, very pleased with it. It was all a lot of fun. Obviously, there was the Animal Crossing Direct, the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack pricing came out. That's a whole conversation to be had right there, I think. But
yes,
we'll talk about that stuff when Dan's feeling better and it's come out, so we have a little bit more time to vote to it. I'll just say that Cap'n's back and Gyroids are back, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, like Gyroids are. I don't give a shit about Cap'n. Like, not for any reason other than it's just whatever. But fucking Gyroids being back is very exciting. I don't know if it's enough to get me to play again, but I am excited about it.
So they added this polishing mechanic, which does nothing except for make some sparkle, but I want to collect every Gyroid and then polish the shit out of them. There's clearly something very wrong with me.
That's I think we'll put that up there with court-martialing the private as a wonderful euphemism. Going over and polishing my Gyroids. Are you? That's cool. Aren't you married? Yeah, long time. That's why I gotta polish my Gyroid.
Yeah. Well, the wife stopped polishing the Gyroids for me, so...
Because she was like, just because I'm a woman, you think I gotta fucking polish your Gyroids? Fuck
she's
you.
She's got her own Gyroids to polish.
That's right!
So we're gonna skip all that.
we're gonna skip everything we just talked about.
Look, for us, this is skipping. It's been it really 17 is. Minutes, okay? That's pretty good for us. All right, so we're going to rank every Castlevania game. We're going to take a break halfway through just so that we can get a little breather in there. This is every major, unique Castlevania game. Not even major, just every unique Castlevania game that wasn't... Castlevania the Arcade, I did not include because neither of us have played it, and
right, and neither have you.
Yeah, I don't think it's actually a game. I looked at a gameplay video, and it's like got a Dragon's Lair or something. It's just point and click kind of. It's whatever. I didn't count that one, and obviously I didn't count any of the pachinko machines and shit because
again, we haven't played them, and neither of you.
And it's
unless you've been to
Japan. Pachinko
machine.
I don't know. That's not really a game.
Which is cool, and I'm jealous. I really want to go to Akihabara one of these days.
Me too. Someday we'll take a trip.
Yeah, that'll be nice. The two of us together. Leave
nice
wives
romantic
and kids.
Trip.
Nice romantic cruise out to... Oh, fuck that. I will never go on a cruise. But, no, I won't. That's the fucking... That is the most, like... I don't know. I'm very anti-cruise. It's fucking terrible.
I went on one cruise, and I didn't really see the point of it.
Yeah, I can't imagine anything I would want to do less than be on a boat with a bunch of people who thought it was a good idea to go on a fucking cruise. So, yeah. I would be there begrudgingly, but with all those people, like, happy to be there, just stuffing their fucking fat faces. Like, oh, God, I hate all of you. I'm very negative today, Chris. I'm very sorry. My throat hurt.
It's all right. It's all right. Let's talk about some Castlevania games. Let's put these suckers in order.
Let's do it.
Let's do it directly to it. All right. So
Are you keeping the running list?
Okay. I will keep it rolling.
Oh my God, that is a huge list. I just opened up the script. Fuck.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
Well, I shouldn't have. No. All right. So Gyroids, huh?
Yeah.
Let's talk about those some more.
Castlevania Gyroid Adventure.
Oh, that would be really fun.
I would play the fuck out of that.
I was going to say, tell me you wouldn't play the shit out of that game.
All right, so we're just going to go by our release original Japanese release dates. So,
yes.
First up, Castlevania for NES and Famicom Disk System, released in 1986. I think that's got to go at the top of the list for now.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. I'm really curious to see how high up on the list this finishes, because I feel like for me and my sensibilities and like the shit that I'm into, this was just such a perfect game. And it was one of those things that like when you reflect on it later, you realize that this is one of the things, like, oh, these were the moments that helped shape me into, like, the fucking unique, special knucklehead that I am. You know, and, like, my love of the Universal Monsters and all of that stuff. I mean, how much of that is directly attributable to this original Castlevania, or how much of my love is of Castlevania is or can be attributed to that, you know, I don't know. I fucking love this game so much.
As do I. The original Castlevania has that, it has that really magic something that even the original Mega Man was missing. Like,
yeah, oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
This is going to wind up higher on my list than I think it's going to wind up on. I don't know how other people are going to feel about it, but I really think this game is so perfectly executed for what it is. Like, yeah, it's tough as nails and it's got things that piss me off about it, but there's so much about it that is just such a perfect little package. And because it's the first one, it's not bogged down by any deep lore or anything like that. It's just this really cool, like the whole whip thing. Like, it could have been anything. So why a whip? Cool. Who cares? It's great.
Yeah, and it's fun.
It's super fun to play. It looks great, especially considering it's vintage. And then you've got that music, which is like unbelievably good. Just some of the best tunes. Some of the it gives off a great vibe. I just love the original Castlevania so much. It's phenomenal.
It really is. I still can't believe you never realized it was a film reel at the beginning. That's still. It's a revelation that makes me question our entire relationship, but whatever.
Yeah, well, you know. Like I said, I am the worst. You have terrible taste sometimes.
I do. I really do. I surround myself with broken things and try to fix them. Okay. You've met some of my exes, so, you know. Not lying.
It's getting spicy in here. All right.
Oh, man. There was that one. Oh.
Speaking of your exes, Vampire Killer.
I have not really spent a lot. Sorry.
MSX2, 1986. This is not a game that a lot of people in America have played because it's an MSX2 release. It is a fascinating little game, though.
Yeah, like I've played a little bit of it, but it's not. It's different enough from the Castlevania that we have. That I didn't want to unlearn the muscle memory for that, you know what I mean? Because, like, it's similar enough to where it's like, oh, I'm fucking this Castlevania, whatever. And then undoing the muscle memory for the NES Castlevania was not a thing that I was into. But it's cool. I think it definitely goes underneath of Castlevania.
I think, for sure. I mean, this was developed... It was developed... I think pretty much in tandem with the original Castlevania, although the
from NES, what I understand, yeah,
the disc system game did release first, not by a whole lot, and it is, you know, if you look at it at first glance, it's easy to mistake it for being the same game, but this is kind of where this is the birthing point of the vania of Metroidvania. Like, yeah. This has exploratory elements. They're really rudimentary, but this game involves backtracking.
Yeah.
Since it was an MSX game, there's no screen scrolling. It's a screen-by-screen, more puzzly affair, with finding keys and treasure chests and talking to shopkeepers and stuff like that. I also haven't played a ton of it. I have played some of it, and it is an absolutely fascinating ride. It's pretty much the same soundtrack, but... I think, you know, much lower quality because the MSX2 just didn't have as good sounding sound chips as the NES did, at least in my humble opinion. But this is still the classic Konami compositions, so the music sounds great. It's more interesting than it is good, but it is still pretty solid. I just don't think it's really quite on the same caliber as the original Castlevania.
Yeah, I think it's something that we'll have to revisit. And for a summer series at some point, like that seems like a game that we should maybe try and make our way through and have a more in-depth discussion on. But for the purposes of this, like, yeah, it's below the original Castlevania or the American. Well, I don't even have to say that because they're different games.
Yeah, I mean, Castlevania for NES and Famicom Disk System were effectively the same. I mean, there was very, very little difference between the two of them.
Right. Not enough to rank them separately.
Yeah, no, we're not even Not even close to that. I mean, I'm not even putting Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse as a different thing.
Right.
Because, I mean, most of that was auditory. And the music was phenomenal, I think, in both releases. So.
Sure.
But anyway, sticking. Next up, 1987's Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest for NES and Famicom Disk System. I think this has to go above Vampire Killer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This game is fucking... It's so weird.
It is, but it's a weird game. It's so ambitious for 1987. It's so ambitious. This is also... This really is more... This is even more heading in the Metroid of the Metroidvania angle. There's just going all over the place. It's if in English, it's nigh impossible without a guide.
Yeah, it's fucking... It is impossible. Like, I honestly don't know one person who figured this game out on their own. Because you just can't. Neither. You just...
Yeah, there's no way to make sense of the things. They literally tell you the wrong things to do at certain points.
Yeah, like it's a broken-ass fucking game. Like, make no mistake. But you're right, the ambition is there. I think it looks really cool. The fucking day-night cycle was way too quick, I thought.
Yeah. But it was also pretty damn unique.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. And, like, it the Dracula fight isn't outstanding or anything at the end. But I definitely think it goes above Vampire Killer. It is the one of every Castlevania game that we're going to talk about. It's the one that I think should be remade the most.
Yeah, this game is in dire need of a modern remake. Like,
yeah,
you want to talk about your Metroid Samus Returns or Metroid Zero Mission? Like,
yeah, give me Simon's Quest, man.
Yeah,
love to see somebody do something cool with that.
There's an indie game was out to do that at first, but it's kind of really spun off into its own unique thing. I mean, like, I want a really proper remake of this game because there's some really good bones there. Pun very much intended.
Very much.
All right, so yeah, that goes above Vampire Killer. All right. Then we have 1988's Haunted Castle for the arcade, and this is dead last.
Yeah, there's not even a question.
I don't know if there's anything on this list that's going to top this for the dead last position.
I don't think so. It's not
There's
fun.
There's one thing coming up that might do it. I have to put some thought into it. It's hideous. It's not fun. It's got decent music.
It's just
music.
Not fun. Yeah. It's just not a fun game to play. Even for the, taking it for what it was at the time, like the quarter munching aspect, that like it's just not fucking good, man.
Yeah, there's nothing fun about it. This game is awful. It's the only value this has is as a Castlevania curiosity. That is the only good that this thing has.
Yeah, I would
Besides
agree.
Its music. Music's pretty decent.
I would agree.
Anyways.
Alright, yeah.
Let's stop talking about Haunted Castle. That game sucks. This game sucks a little bit less. This is Castlevania the Adventure for Game Boy from 1989.
Shit, so like, I'm not sure if this should go above Vampire Killer or not.
Yeah, I'm kind of back and forth on it because on
I don't
one hand,
think it should.
Yeah, I don't think it should either. I think it's really close.
Yeah.
Because it's not like this game is an absolute slog to play. There's the music is so good in this one that no matter how bad the game is, it's still kind of fun at least. But
it's just so hard to play.
It's so slow.
There's a lot of really not unfair shit in there.
Oh my god, yeah.
This unfair.
Some genuinely bad choices were made.
Yeah. Yeah, now I would put it above above Haunted Castle, but below Vampire Killer.
I agree. I think it has to go below Vampire Killer. Vampire Killer's got just that interesting factor a little bit more, and it plays, I think it genuinely plays better. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. All right. That works.
All right. Our first properly interesting discussion piece is going to be 1989's Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse for NES. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say, even though this game is phenomenal, I still put it below the original Castlevania myself.
Oh, see, I was going to put it above.
I could be convinced. There's just there's a specific charm about the first game that sticks with me. But, I mean, that's really more of a personal opinion thing. I really don't think... I think you're right. I don't think there's anything... I don't think there's... I think about it, there's not a reasonable case to be made to say that this is not a better game than the original Castlevania.
I don't like it as much, but... I'm trying to think of, like... I mean, because there's just... There's so much... They really, like, Castlevania 3 really took the ideas that they were coming up with in the second one and some of the ideas that they were coming up with for Vampire Killer and kind of married all of that together in this really, really, really great fucking action game. Like, this is just a really good NES action game. It's got, I mean, the graphics are, a touch up from the original, certainly, but they still have that really just Castlevania-ness to them. There's just a really good atmosphere in all of the graphics. The fucking multiple paths that you can take to get to different areas, and then being able to use the different characters. This game's fucking great, man.
It really is. And like,
it's really great.
I did really like the way it kind of expanded the lore, because this was, we kind of got a taste of that with Castlevania the Adventure with, you know, it was Simon Belmont, and then it was Simon Belmont, and then it was, Castlevania the Adventure was like, ooh, Christopher Belmont.
Yeah,
oh, this is kind of neat. It's like a descendant of Simon. That's pretty spiffy. And then, you know, this one was like, no, Trevor and Grand Dynasty. Like, yeah, the multiple characters, the branching paths. Yeah, Alucard, even though he looked ridiculous in this game.
And fucking, what's the other dude's name?
Sypha,
yeah.
Who was technically a dude in the NES manual, but I think was always intended to be a woman.
Yeah, I think so. Like, that I think is one of the things that's also really cool about this game, is that there's so much variety in how you can play through this game. And, like, the way that you might have played through it might have been completely different than the way that I played through it, just based on the routes that you took throughout the game, the character that you picked to team up with. Right, like, did you keep Grant the whole time? Did you keep Alucard? Like, nobody picked Sypha. But did you? You know, like, there's just so much choice and variety in this. It's got a ton of replayability because of that. You know, or like, oh, I'm going to be a fucking psychopath and I'm just going to do it on my own. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen videos of people just like, now I'm just fucking solo going through this shit. Like, it's just, this game's great.
Yeah, great, it really music. Is. Very well done. And the music is outstanding.
I'm curious to see how long this stays on the top, actually.
Yeah, it's weird. I have a strange relationship with it. I look at the game and I very clearly understand it is an extraordinary game, but I should love it more than I do. And I don't know why I don't. I'm not saying I don't like the game. I love this game.
Sure,
I should
sure.
love it more than I do, and I'm not sure why I don't. Yeah. But, you know, this is what it is. I will try my best to continue to be
objective.
Unbiased. Objective, yeah. That's the word. All right, let's see here. Next up, this is going to be an interesting choice. So we have 1991's Castlevania II: Belmont's Revenge for the Game Boy.
I'm really curious as to where you're going to put this one. I think I know where I'm going to put it.
I'm waffling back and forth between above or below Simon's Quest.
See, I think it definitely goes above Simon's Quest, but below the NES Castlevania.
It definitely goes below the NES Castlevania. I'm just not 100% positive that it goes below Simon's Quest. It is less broken. It is still pretty slow. It is way less... It's less ambitious, I guess, than Simon's Quest, but not necessarily for a Game Boy game, because you had the whole choose-your-own-path thing. It's a really good game. I don't know if it's more fun to play than Simon's Quest. If, with playing Simon's Quest with a guide can be a pretty fun, rewarding experience. Whereas this one is still pretty straightforward, and it's got some just some cheap ass boss battles.
It does. It does definitely have some cheap boss battles. I still think I would put it above Simon's Quest, though. Just because, like, as much as I enjoy that game, there's just, I don't know, like, it's fucking impossible to play. You know what I mean? Like, it's impossible to play, and, like, just trying to judge the games on their own merits, you know, not like, well, this game is great if, right?
Hmm. Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Just trying to look at it, like you said, like, objectively. I just, Belmont's Revenge, because it's unique in its story, right? Like, you're not storming through Dracula's castle, you know, you're going after your kid, you know, kind of thing, like, because your kid's a fucking evil dick, like, you couldn't pass off the whip, which is just kind of cool, and it's really impressive for the Game Boy, because you're right, it is slow, but it's so, man, I enjoy this one. I think it's got to go above two.
All right. You've convinced me.
All right.
Belmont's Revenge is the superior Castlevania 2.
It is the superior Castlevania 2. I mean, and, like, it's not so much better. You know what I mean? It's not, I mean, we're not talking leaps and bounds better here.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
But it's pretty close, but I do think it's just, it's got a slight bit.
All right, then.
And this one's going to be really interesting, too.
All right, so Super Castlevania 4 for Super NES, released in 1991. I love this game.
I love this game, too. I don't know how good it is, but I do love it.
I think it's very good. I do think it tends to fall apart a little bit later in the adventure.
Like, yeah.
I think the best stuff is in the beginning, personally. But it's pretty solid all the way through. It's got such great sound design.
It really does. I'm such a
sucker for that.
And the fucking hanging from the whip and swinging back and forth as the whole background is rotating behind you. Like, all of that was really cool.
Yeah, very, very good use of Mode 7 showing off.
Yeah, Mode 7, thank you. I was fucking struggling for it there. Really, it is awesome, definitely stuff.
All right, it's definitely above Haunted Castle. It's definitely above 100%. The Adventure. It's definitely above Vampire Killer. I think it's definitely above Simon's Quest. I think it's definitely above Belmont's Revenge. This is where I start to get thrown for a loop. Is it better than the original Castlevania?
Oh, man, is it? Oh, yeah, see, that's tough, man. Because, like, I don't know. I always felt that this game was, as much as I really, really like it, I do really, really like it. This may be an unfair comparison because it's not a Nintendo property, but, like, the first Zelda you played on the Super Nintendo was like, oh my god, this is fucking amazing. The first Metroid, when you played that on Super Nintendo, the first time you played Super Metroid, was like, oh, this is incredible. And then it's like, oh, Super Castlevania, like, this is, you know, because I always felt like, you know, Castlevania on the NES was like one of the pillars.
Yeah.
You know, whether rightly or wrongly, it's not a Nintendo property, but it felt like a pillar. And then this is not as good as those. You know what I mean? Certainly not. I don't know
that I agree with you. Super Castlevania 4 was like, it's so well loved, and it was such a showpiece for the system when it launched. I mean, it was a pretty early Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. It ran the technology through its paces. It's effectively a retelling of the same story of Castlevania 1, but it's so unique. It's got a really great look to it. It does chug a lot.
It does.
But
I don't know, I think by playing an emulated version, you know.
Right. They that was a recent thing though. They made this run on one of those different chips. I thought that was super cool. Seeing this game without slowdown was nuts.
I would put it above the original.
Yeah.
I would put it not by much, but because it does take so much of the original and more fully realize it. Plus, Simon was just like so big, you know.
Wiggly Whip.
Like, yeah, Wiggly Whip is fucking. Yeah, Wiggly Whip. That puts it over the top.
But it doesn't top Dracula's Curse.
No.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there.
Yeah, I think
I personally enjoy Super Castlevania 4 more than Dracula's Curse, but I don't think I can say that it's a better game.
Yeah. And, like, I certainly... It's weird, too, because I will certainly go back and play the original Castlevania more than I will play Super Castlevania. But, yeah, I do think it is a better game.
All right. This is an interesting one here. Kid Dracula. Do we even count this?
I mean, I think so. It's in the world of Castlevania. It's got Castlevania music in it.
It just plays so differently than every other Castlevania game. But then again, you know, Metroid Prime Pinball did too. So
yeah, and if we put Metroid Prime Pinball in, we're keeping Kid Dracula.
We're keeping Kid Dracula. All right. So I wrote down the Game Boy one. I forgot that the Famicom one actually came out first. That was in October of 1990. Mm. But yes, the Famicom one's the one that's in the collection, right? The
yeah, I believe
collection.
So.
Yes,
yeah.
That's in the anniversary collection. So, I recently played this for the first time in that collection.
Me too.
I'd seen the Game Boy one, but I'd never actually had it. It was fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not like, it's oh my neat. God, this game that has been missing from my life this whole time.
Yeah, it's not a lost masterpiece or anything, but it's fun. It's fine.
I think I would just like... Just looking at where our list is right now, I think it makes sense after Simon's Quest, but before Vampire Killer. That might be crazy to some people. I could also see it below Vampire Killer. I just don't have enough...
I don't have enough interaction
with Vampire Killer to say which is better.
Again, Vampire Killer winds up being very more interesting than it is fun. I think Kid Dracula for NES might be a more well-executed, compact action game.
Yeah.
Than, like, it just might overall be more fun to play. Again, not necessarily that I like it better, but yeah, I think I'm going to put it above Vampire Killer. I think that's where it goes.
Yeah. All right.
Fair enough.
Done and done.
All right. Here we have... Castlevania Chronicles, originally released in 1993 for the Sharp X68000, was eventually released in the United States and other territories on the original Sony PlayStation in 2001, featuring a fun and fancy makeover of Simon Belmont with bright pink hair for some reason.
Yeah, it's super weird.
It is super weird.
It's a weird collection, too. Like, it's a good collection. I'm glad I have it.
Is it a collection? It's really just this and then the version with the... It's the original version of this and then the slightly cleaned up PlayStation version.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they called it a collection, I thought, back then. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's really good.
It is. This is a really, really solid... This, again, like Super Castlevania 4, it's a really solid rendition of the original Castlevania, and it does a lot of really cool and interesting things. I don't know if I like it more or less than Super Castlevania 4, and I'm honestly not sure if I like it more or less than the original Castlevania, though I do think it's probably, again, safer to say that it's a better game.
That's where it gets difficult, because it's a reimagining of the original Castlevania, and I do think it's a better reimagining, graphical oddities aside. Mm-hmm. I do think it is better than Super Castlevania.
Ooh, I definitely disagree with that.
As far as a remake, like a remake of the original, like Super Castlevania 4 does more has.
Very unique direction.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I do think it is a better remake of the original. I don't know that that makes it a better game. I don't think I like it more than Super Castlevania, but I do think I like it more. I think it should go above the original Castlevania, but below Super Castlevania.
I definitely agree with you on the below Super Castlevania. I'm not sure I agree with you on the above the NES original, but then again, I mean, it is really good. I haven't played through this in such a long time.
Yeah, I haven't played. This is one of the ones that I've played through the least.
Yeah, like I played through it when I bought it on PlayStation, and I thought it was great.
Yeah. There's just, because that's kind of an unfair judgment, too, of like the reason that I go back and play the original Castlevania more is just for the nostalgia factor of it.
And the accessibility, too. Well, I guess this is available on PSN, but, you know, Castlevania is just available all over the place.
Everywhere. Yeah, like I was playing that. Yeah, I booted up Minecraft on my fridge and then was playing the original Castlevania on my toaster earlier. So that's the world we live in. It's fucking great.
I think it has to go.
Yeah, like it's a better game.
Damn close, but yeah. It does what the original game does, except it just does it a little bit better. It's a really good remake.
It's got really good music too. It like does. What they did with the music is really really awesome.
Sure how I feel about the pink hair on Simon Belmont, but it is what it is.
Yeah,
but
I mean, you know,
that's
like,
just
whatever.
For the remake of the remake.
Yeah, it's the same as the pink hair on Link. You know, it's like, whatever. It's fucking color choice. I don't care that much. It's a little weird. It's a little jarring, but...
Next up, we have The Immortal Castlevania Rondo of Blood, released in 1993 for the PC Engine Super CD-ROM. I personally think this has to go right up to the top. Yeah.
Right up to the top, yeah.
This is probably the best iteration of the straight action Castlevania games.
Yeah.
Right? Because you've got the action Castlevanias and you've got the adventure Castlevanias. And,
right.
I mean, Rondo is just, it's outstanding. It looks great. It sounds great. It plays great. Richter Belmont's such a great character.
Such a great design.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. It jumps into the exploratory elements with some branching paths, just like Castlevania 3. Yeah, the game's a masterpiece.
Yeah, this game's incredible. And, like, what's so cool about it is that it was that unaccessible, like, people used to whisper about it back in the day. Like, yes, but
legend.
Yeah, like, have you played Rondo of Blood? And you're like, fuck you, what is Rondo of Blood? You know, how dare you call my Castlevania fandom into fucking question? You know, and be like, oh my god. And then eventually playing the game, fuck, everybody was right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? One of those things that it really lived up to the hype, which is, you know, when you think about some of those legendary things like, oh, this is this lost masterpiece that nobody ever played, and then you get to play, it's like, nah, it's pretty good, but this one lived up to the hype. This is just, it's just Castlevania done brilliantly. So, so darn good.
It's just great. Yeah. This game's fucking awesome. Yeah, right up to the top. Not even a question.
I'm very curious what you're going to make of this one. Next up is 1994's Castlevania Bloodlines for Sega Genesis.
Oh, man. I don't have a ton of experience with it. I like it. It's a fucking weird Castlevania game.
Yeah, I don't love this game. This isn't like a Contra Hardcore situation. Like,
yeah,
I just don't like Contra Hardcore. I think Castlevania Bloodlines does a lot of stuff right. It's got really good music, especially for a Genesis game. Some really crazy visual stuff, like similar to how Super Castlevania 4 played to the Super Nintendo's strengths, like really early on. Bloodlines does some really awesome stuff on the Genesis. But as far as actually being a fun game to play, when I played through this recently on the Legacy Collection, it was one of the most miserable experiences trying to finish this game. Like, I don't know, man. There's just some design choices where things are cheap, hard.
Yeah.
And I didn't find it nearly as fun. Now, that's not to say it's bad by any stretch. I just don't know if I put this above or below. Personally, do I put this above or below the original NES Castlevania?
I would put it below.
Yeah, I think it definitely
goes above everything else that's on that list, like Belmont's Revenge, Simon's Quest, Kid Dracula. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's a question there. But I do definitely think it is below the NES Castlevania.
I agree with you.
The spear, like, it's just...
Playing as Eric LeCard was a neat thing.
Yeah, it was cool, but it's not... I don't know, man. Like you said, there's some weird choices, especially because, like, I played through it as well, not all the way through, but, like, jumping into it on the collection, and it's like, oh, man, this is, like, just such a weird outlier when I've got all these other, iterations on this formula, and then this thing shows up, and it's like, oh, this is your fucking weird cousin that you don't talk to very often, but is somehow at the birthday party, and you're like, oh, what's up, Eric? It's fine. Haven't seen you in a while.
Oh, John cool. Morris and Eric LeCard. And yeah, not for nothing, it does have some really weird visual tics to it. Like,
it does.
The way you walk up and down stairs is really odd. But it does do the swinging by the whip thing, which is really cool, which I agree definitely puts it above Belmont's Revenge, but I don't think it can top the tight, just overall masterpiece that the original NES game is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's missing some of that charm that the original has. You know, I think that just has to knock it a step below. Yeah.
I think this next one's gonna... I think I'm gonna get some shit for my placement on this one, but this is the much maligned Castlevania Dracula X from 1995, released for the Super Nintendo. This is effectively a... It's not really a port of Rondo of Blood. It's kind of like Castlevania Chronicles to Castlevania NES. You know, it's like it's telling the same story, but it's really a different animal.
Yeah.
I love this game. I think it's fantastic. I mean, it definitely has some bland level design, but it also has some really exciting level design. It has amazing visuals on the Super Nintendo. It does some things, I think, better than Rondo does. Like, the fire in the first level is jaw-dropping on this Super Nintendo game. It's an amazing visual effect, and I think the music is just beyond stellar. It's no Rondo of Blood, but... Yeah. I genuinely enjoy playing this game more than Bloodlines, and that's where I put it personally. But I know
below
people
Castlevania,
think
but above Bloodline.
I feel like there's some folks that are going to say that's sacrilege to put this game above Bloodlines because people hate this game.
I am not a huge fan of this game. This game is so fucking hard.
It is, which is one of the reasons I really can't wait to buy it, that the Castlevania Advance Collection, because it's this game with a rewind function. Hell yeah. I'm all about that. This game is prohibitively hard, but so's Bloodlines. I think Bloodlines towards the end is just as brutal as this one.
The fucking Dracula fight in Dracula X is such bullshit. It's such bullshit. The Dracula fight is always hard, and it always should be hard. But I gotta do this shit jumping on these tiny-ass little pillars. As well. Get the fuck out of here. It is absurd. I'm fucking choking as I'm saying. Like, it is fucking absurd, man. I can acquiesce to where you want to put it because I love you. I would put it personally below Bloodlines, but I'm not going to fight you on it.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time with it. Is it just because I like this game better? I mean, at the end of the day, I will always choose to play as Richter Belmont over John Morris and Eric LeCard, you know?
Oh, no, sure. Like, I mean, as far as replayability, but, like, In the world that exists now, like, I'm just going to play Rondo of Blood. Like, if my options are, like, oh, I want to play a Richter Belmont game, I'm going to fucking play Rondo of Blood. You know? Like, I'm not playing Dracula X. It just is so unfairly hard in some parts of it. I agree with you entirely on that. Like, it looks great. There's some great music. They did some really cool, like, visual stuff in it. Yeah, I mean, people really do hate this game. I don't really hate this game.
People only hate it because it's not Rondo of Blood. Like, oh, it's this bastardization of Rondo of Blood. And like, okay, but it's one of those thin things. If you take it for what it actually is instead of just focusing entirely on what it isn't, then you're not missing out on a really solid Castlevania game. But no, I got to agree with you. It doesn't belong above Bloodlines. As much as I like it more than Bloodlines, you're right. Bloodlines does way more interesting stuff with its level design. It's a better game. Fine. Be all right.
Here's the list right here.
Here it is. Where are we putting 1997, released for PlayStation and Sega Saturn, Castlevania Symphony of the Night?
Man.
Personally, I put it straight at the top.
That's where I want to put it as well. So let's do that and not even talk about it.
Right.
Let's move on.
It's my sensibilities, but also I just think this game's just so masterfully done. And as much as I love Rondo.
I love Rondo, but my favorite genre of video gaming is the Metroidvania genre.
The search action.
Yeah. You know, like if I had to boil it down and be like, I can play one type of video game for the rest of my life, like that's what it would be. And God, is this game fucking great.
It is. It holds up, it looks great, it sounds great.
Here's what puts it over Rondo of Blood for me. Because they are very, very different games.
Oh, right? Incredibly. Rondo is just action game. This is Metroidvania.
Could not be any different. But if I'm looking at these games, like trying to look at it objectively, and like what game has the bigger "oh shit, that's awesome" moment, there's an upside down castle in Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, where in Clock didn't Tower.
Even, yeah, like you didn't even expect that when you beat the game, you were only halfway done. Like that moment in that game is cooler than anything in Rondo of Blood.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right, list is over. I mean, you know, I mean, we can put the rest of them in whatever order. You know, it's fine.
And the rest, we'll just do alphabetical.
Yeah. 2, 3 through whatever. Now, I'm actually really curious if anything is going to top Rondo. Because I think there might be one or two.
There was definitely a time in my life where I thought something topped Symphony, and I'm not sure if I feel the same way about it still. But yeah.
I don't think it does. I know what you're talking about, and I think it's below it, but I think it's above Rondo. But we'll see when we get there.
Well, this ain't above Rondo. This is Castlevania Legends for the Game Boy.
Nope.
This game's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not as good as I don't think it's as good as Belmont's Revenge.
Oh, it's definitely no Belmont's Revenge. It's definitely no Simon's Quest. And it's definitely no Kid Dracula, because it doesn't have that personality. The question is it a better or worse game than the other Game Boy one on the list, Castlevania the Adventure? And I think it's better than the Adventure, but not by much.
But by a hair.
Yeah, by a hair.
What the fuck did I just knock over? Oh, I knocked over all my shit. That's right. There's little tinklies in the background now because I'm knocking stuff over.
Yeah, so I think that's where it goes. It's not as good as Vampire Killer on MSX, I don't think, because it is a pretty bland game. It's neat that you get to play as Sonya Belmont, but
she looks terrible.
It's just everything about the game is just like, well, this is fine, except the music. Music's pretty cool. It's got a really good soundtrack, and the soundtrack is not nearly as good as Castlevania the Adventure, as far as I'm concerned. But
right. But like, if I
overall, there's no point in that game that's the that thing in like the first stage of Castlevania the Adventure where you're going between those pillars that are floating in the sky and it's just like, oh, I fell. I gotta spend 15 minutes walking all the way back.
All the way back.
Why is this here?
Who thought this was fun? Yeah, I mean, this is not a game that I would suggest anybody go play if you haven't played it already.
At best, watch some highlights on YouTube.
And even then, you're not missing much.
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
Is this a good breaking point? Now let's take care of these two more, and then
we'll take ourselves
a quick break.
These two suck.
The question is how much in comparison to other things. I don't necessarily agree that they suck. They're not great. I'm not even sure. They're definitely not great. They're not good. Well, they're borderline good in some ways. All right. Let's stop beating around the bush here. Castlevania from 1999, released for Nintendo 64.
I am going to go ahead, and we know my limited experience with this title. I'm going to go ahead and say that it should be below Simon's Quest, but above Kid Dracula. Based on nothing other than that just feels right.
I'm going to say it goes one lower.
Okay.
I think the original Castlevania for N64 has to go below Vampire Killer.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah,
I'm going to trust your expertise on this.
It's because this one was nowhere near as refined as its follow-up, which is the next one on the list, Castlevania Legacy of Darkness, also from 1999. This one was where they kind of delivered on a lot more of the promises of the original game. Mm. It still isn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I would just love for these games to be released on a modern console so I don't have to play them with a Nintendo 64 controller.
Right.
Like, they're never going to be great, but I think they would be so much more interesting to play with just a proper controller, which, I mean, I guess I could do that now. I have, like, a Retro Fighters controller.
Right.
But with the modern accoutrements, I think would be really really nice to have on a game like this. Castlevania for N64, I think, definitely goes below Vampire Killer. Castlevania Legacy of Darkness still isn't phenomenal, but it does do a lot of interesting stuff. I've never finished this game, and I'd really like to. My question is, does it go above or below Kid Dracula?
Yeah, see, for me, I would put it below. Again, I don't even know that I've even played this one.
Not many people have. It had a very limited release, and it's never been re-released on anything.
Yeah, I think, like, when we talked about it originally, I didn't even know what we were talking about the first time, because I really don't think I've ever even played it. So, I mean, I'm going to trust where you put this one.
It's my limited experience with Vampire Killer is really getting to me, but, like, when I think about this game as opposed to Kid Dracula, I think just the scope of this game puts it above Kid Dracula for me. It definitely doesn't top Simon's Quest. It's my question is, where do I put it, above or below Kid Dracula? And Kid Dracula was ultimately a fairly forgettable experience for me. I know people love that game, but I don't know. It was all right. It was neat-ish, but yeah, let's go underneath it.
All right.
It is still an ugly-ass N64 game, so...
Yeah, I mean, it looks gross.
Yeah.
I know it has its fans, though. You know, like, I know that there are people who have played this that are like, no, this is actually, like, if you give it a chance, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world.
The kind of thing that you can play and see, like, all right, this is a real honest-to-goodness attempt at making Castlevania in 3D. But anyways, this is a good breaking point. Right now, this is where the list stands as is. Going bottom to top. Dead last, going to be hard to beat, Haunted Castle. Castlevania the Adventure, Castlevania Legends, Castlevania for N64, Vampire Killer, Castlevania Legacy of Darkness, Kid Dracula, Simon's Quest, Belmont's Revenge, Dracula X, Bloodlines, Castlevania for NES, Chronicles, Super, 3, Rondo, and Symphony. Pretty good list so far. We got a lot of interesting stuff still to come. But we're going to take ourselves a quick break, do some commercials, and then we'll come back and tackle the back half of the list. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around. And now, here's a quick look at some of the other original content available now from our partners and Geekade.com.
First up, Facebook. Place where your parents go to exchange conspiracy theories and old high school friends track you down to ask you to listen to their podcasts. Like us. It's a blight on the internet. Fortunately, though, it doubles as a great place to find memes. If you wanted to know how the weekend rental crew feels about it, well, they feel fucking strongly. Plus, Ryan and Andy talk about Chris Pratt's Mario Machine, Sora and Smash, and more. Don't miss Weekend Rental episode 110, The Gamers Unlock the Direct.
Next, carrying on the annual traditions is something we like to do on the Waveback podcast every year. Get it? One such tradition is to listen to Castlevania soundtracks in chronological order. This year, we've come upon the excellent Castlevania sequel for the original Game Boy. This game is way better than Castlevania the Adventure, but how is the music? Find out if a crunchy bass makes things better or worse in Waveback episode 138, Castlevania 2, Belmont's Revenge.
Crunchy bass, always good. Finally, Chris, Pauly Shore, and this is how you can tell I don't write these. Pauly Shore is a national treasure, said Chris in what he wrote.
It's true. It's irrefutable.
I mean, sure. His beloved Weasel character has woven itself into the very fabric of our society, into the cockles of our hearts. So when an icon such as himself teams up with young Brendan Fraser, young, virile, sexy Brendan Fraser, and Lord of the Rings, still pudgy Sean Astin, you have a recipe for success. That's why Sean, Paul, and Chris decided to take a deep dive into the psychological thriller Encino Man, dissecting all the nuances of the performances, pontificating on the genius premise, and of course, wheeze some juice. I hate that you made me say that. Does this all-time classic stand the test of time? I could have refused, but why would I? Does this all-time classic stand the test of time? I mean, are you asking? Do you want me to answer? Don't miss a theater near you, episode 7, Encino Man, I think is how you pronounce it, right?
Yes. Linkovich Chomofsky.
I fucking hate Pauly Shore.
Did you, like, we discovered while we were doing this episode that he's still around. He's got a YouTube channel or he's got, like, like working out with the Wheeze or something like that.
Oh my god, that sounds awful.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. It does sound genuinely terrifying. But anyway, for all this great content and more from us and our partners, be sure to keep your eyes on Geekade.com. Okay, we're back. It is time to pick up where we left off on our Castlevania rankings, and we're headed right into some pretty highbrow territory here, starting with 2001's Castlevania Circle of the Moon for the Game Boy Advance.
I fucking love this game when it came out. This is a game that I don't think time has done a lot of favors, comparatively speaking, to a lot of the other games that we are going to talk about here.
Yeah, it's still great, but it's the novelty of it being a portable Symphony of the Night wore off, and you know, while it's still very good, it's not, you know, it's not impeccable.
No. I think I would see, and this is where it gets hard. Like, does this go, how high up on the list does this one go?
All right, so it's not beating Symphony, it's not beating Rondo. I don't think it beats Dracula's Curse.
No.
I don't think it beats Super Castlevania 4 either.
I don't think so either.
Does it beat Chronicles?
I don't think so.
Okay, original NES?
I think if we would have done this list, you know, when this first came out, I'd been like, oh my god, this is the best fucking, you know, this is right up there with Symphony of the Night. But like I said, I think time has not done this one as many favors. So, no, it doesn't beat that. Does it beat Castlevania for the NES? Man, I don't know if it does anymore.
I don't know that it does either.
I don't know that I would say it does.
It definitely beats Bloodlines for me, personally.
Yeah, I can put it above Bloodlines, but I think that's as high as I would go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you're 100% right, sir.
All right, sweet. I like being right.
Okay, this is going to be a tough one, too, because I don't really know how I feel about this one. 2002's Harmony of Dissonance for Game Boy Advance.
So, Harmony of Dissonance is...
I have never gone back to replay this game. And I think that's a pretty damning statement, because I have gone back to replay Aria. I've gone back to replay... The one we just talked about, which I've already forgotten its name. Circle of the Moon. But I have not gone back to properly play Harmony of Dissonance, but I do have really fond memories of this game.
I do, too. This, and what's weird is that this is... Like, this was the first solo Koji Igarashi one, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
He wasn't involved in Circle of the Moon. So right. This one had like some major compromises in the sound department to give like extra power to the visuals. I thought it was really weird how like it moved super slow unless you but as soon as you got the dashes on the shoulder buttons, I remember just playing this whole game shoulder buttoning all over the map.
Yeah, yeah. This has like correct me if I'm wrong. This one has a fucking terrible castle design, right?
I don't remember.
This one with like the really weird ass, like, what are we even doing here? Like, it's confusing. I think this is the one. I think
you're probably right. I don't remember for sure, to be honest with you, though. Like, I couldn't tell you with any degree of certainty, but recent conversations about this game make me think that that's probably right.
Okay.
I feel like it goes beneath Circle of the Moon.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. No.
It Circle definitely... of the Moon had that card system, which was kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did have fun with the DSS system.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't know, I thought the story was more interesting in Harmony of Dissonance, like the
yeah, for sure.
The fucking dimension hopping or whatever, I thought was pretty cool.
Juste de Belmont?
I don't love Juste. He's not my fave.
But, you know, Nathan Graves isn't much to write home about either, so...
Sure, yeah, that's for sure. Oh, man. I'm torn on this one. I really am.
It's a tough call.
I'm really quite torn. I think I would put it above Circle of the Moon, but that's it. I don't think I would go any higher.
Agreed. No, I don't think it tops Castlevania NES, but, yeah, I think you're right. I'll go with you on that one. I'm easily convinced. I'm easy.
That's what I like about you.
Now, this is the real question. 2003 for Game Boy Advance, Aria of Sorrow. This is a phenomenal game.
So the question is, does this go above or below Rondo of Blood?
That is the question.
That's the question. And... for me personally, it goes above.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of back and forth. They're so close because they're such different games. It's hard to compare them. But then I think about Dawn of Sorrow, and I'm like, I have a harder time going back to Aria of Sorrow because of how good I think Dawn of Sorrow is.
Yeah.
All right, I'm with you. Above Rondo.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair.
It is. It's super tight. It's super tight, but I mean, this game's amazing. Setting Castlevania in the future.
Yeah. This game fucking rules.
It really does. It just gets everything right. It's one of the most impressive Game Boy Advance games. It's so much fun to play. It looks great blown up on a TV even. Like, this game just nailed everything.
This game is worth the price of the collection.
Without a doubt, yeah. The other games are definitely curiosities well worth checking out, but this game is the one you get it for, without it.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. It's so good.
Yeah, this game fucking rules.
Nice. All right. This I might lean on you a little bit for this next couple ones. The one after this. 2003, for the PlayStation 2, we got the first proper 3D Castlevania, Lament of Innocence.
All right, so I think I like this game way more than it is good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
It
was a really solid attempt at actually bringing the search action Castlevania type in 3D. It was a really solid attempt at that.
They really did a good job of being like, "At Devil May Cry sure is popular. What if we did that with Castlevania?"
Well, because that was like, that was the word of the day. Like, as soon as Devil May Cry came out, I was like, "Oh, this is like, it's like, this is what a 3D Castlevania should be." It's like, yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of
not
shouldn't.
Even a little bit.
Yeah, this is a straight up action gun game. I don't know that. Nah, I don't think you're quite right there on that one. But
man, did they do it with this one? I mean, yeah. This is Devil May Cry Castlevania.
Yeah, because it is it does that 3D action, you know, character action kind of a thing, but it also has that map type of, like, a lot of the corridors and stuff that feels like exploring a map in Castlevania.
Yeah, it definitely does.
It was a very ambitious game. It was really cool.
I enjoy this. A lot of this is a lot of what I enjoy about this game, though, is just personal, like, me and my roommate Nick played the shit out of this game at college and just sat there and were blown away by, like, how at the time I was like, "Oh, this is so cool." Yeah. So it's not as good as I make it out to be. But on our list,
okay, working my way up from the bottom, I think it goes above Belmont's Revenge. I think it just for sheer scope, it goes above Dracula X.
Yeah, where I'm running into an issue is whether it goes above or below Circle of the Moon. That is my question.
Personally, I want to put it below Circle of the Moon. It's real close.
I think you're right.
It's just a tad clunky, you know? It's
yeah.
And so is Circle of the Moon, but I think Circle of the Moon's overall more fun to play.
There's a lot of repetitive shit.
Yeah.
In this one. Like, a lot of repetitive shit in Lament of Innocence. Like,
agreed.
I'm just going to go back through this room and kill all these guys again. And now, oh, nope, I wasn't supposed to go that way, so I'm going to go back through this room and kill all these guys again. And, yeah. Yeah, I think that seems right. Definitely above Bloodlines. Definitely above Dracula X. But yeah, I would say below Circle of the Moon.
So this one I really don't have an opinion on because I haven't played this one. This is the sequel to that one, Curse of Darkness, released in 2004 for PlayStation 2 and Xbox. I bought this game and then I never played it. I didn't really want to. There was something about this game that I just really didn't have an interest in.
It's... Yeah. I mean, because it is, like, it is a sequel to it, for the most part. It's just not a fucking Castlevania game. like, it just isn't, you know? It's just
that's
weird.
I don't know. I know so little about this game. I don't know what it was about this game and its release that just completely turned me off. But I never even gave it... I just never gave it the time of day.
Yeah, night, I mean...
As it were.
Shut up. just don't. I would put it... Fuck, man. I would put it... Oh, I mean, I don't think I can put it below... Belmont's Revenge or Simon's Quest, but I would put it below Dracula X.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have to completely defer to you on this one. Like, I'm looking at gameplay of it. It just... This really does not seem... It doesn't seem very Castlevania-y. Like, it does seem
It's just
very,
not.
This seems very Devil May Cry. I'm not seeing a lot of exploration or anything going on here.
Well, like, and it's weird, too, because it... The combat is completely different in this game... But the combat was completely different in Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
You know, but that still feels like a Castlevania game. This does not at all feel like a Castlevania game.
All right.
But it's got the name.
Below Dracula X it goes.
Yeah, below Dracula X.
Ta-da.
Yeah, I don't I think I've probably played this one the least.
Yeah, me too. I haven't played it at all.
Yeah.
Not so much as put it in a system and turn it on. Any Hoosiers.
This is where you and I think, are going to differ.
This was the one that when I first played it, I was like, I think this may have dethroned Symphony of the Night. This is 2005's Dawn of Sorrow for Nintendo DS, and I think this game is a masterpiece. But... I don't think it's still top Symphony. Going back to Symphony and going back to this, they're both so, so good, but I think Symphony still takes it in the overall coolness factor. But I think it's a better game than Aria.
See, I was going to say, like, if I were making this list on my own and I got to this point, I would put it below Rondo of Blood.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Aria was better than this one?
Yes, very much. Huh. Very much is maybe strong. I do think Aria is better. I did not like the... I really, really hate the drawing on the touchscreen thing. I just found it so...
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Oh, I just found it so jarring to like... It 100% looks better. It 100% sounds better, right? That not even whatever. It's definitely more anime than Aria. Like, Aria has this really cool, like, dark look, and this one's a lot more brightly colored.
I mean, it's like box art and stuff was. I feel like the game itself is... You know, stylistically, exactly the same as Aria. I'd also love that you can play through his freaking Alucard with the sprite work and everything from Symphony of the Night. I think that's amazing.
That is very, very cool. I mean, now don't get me wrong, the soul capturing system that's in here, super fucking cool.
Oh yeah,
super, super fucking cool. I love it. It really is the fucking boss fight gimmick thing. That puts me off.
And you just had to capture them. There was like, after you beat them, you had to capture them with that, the touchscreen thing, right?
Yeah, there was like a weird thing that you had to draw on the touchscreen. And like, it was just such a jarring transition of you're in the middle of this boss fight, right? And Castlevania boss fights are
stylus and whatnot.
Yeah, like, oh shit, I gotta do this fucking thing. And then if you didn't do it, like, then the boss got a little bit of health back. I'm like, fuck, I gotta fight this fucking thing again, you know? I understand what they were going for. Like, it is a cool idea in theory. But I found it such a jarring gameplay experience that it is, like, given the choice, like, Aria of Sorrow or Dawn of Sorrow, like, I'm playing Aria of Sorrow.
Yeah, see, for me, like, I loved that the DS was just so built for this. Having the map constantly on screen at the top, again, the music, the weapons, the soul capturing system. I agree with you. The touchscreen thing was a bit of a butt, but at the same time, like, this was damn near visually on par with Symphony, and visually and audibly on par with Symphony.
Yeah,
and I just thought that was astounding, and like, there was things about the Game Boy Advance one, like when you'd get the giant weapons and you'd swing them, it was like, you know, a big rotating sprite, and this was just like, had, you know, proper animations and stuff for that stuff. I just think I like this game better. I mean, you could throw cats in this game.
this is a very strong argument, sir.
You could throw a cat.
You would put it above Aria.
Personally, yeah, I put it above Aria.
I think
it has to go over Rondo, personally.
Well, I was going
to
say, like, I would put it below Rondo. You would put it above Aria. So do we meet in the middle and put it in between the two?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That seems fair, right?
That's fair. I think you're nuts. Yeah,
I'm happy with that.
I mean, look, yeah, it's Aria and Dawn of Sorrow, two of the best Castlevania games ever made. So
yeah, I mean, you play both of them.
Yeah, we're definitely arguing a very tight race here. I can live with it being under Aria of Sorrow. I disagree personally, but you know, it is what it is. Man, this game's good. Just listening to the soundtrack of it right now. We got a playthrough of it running in the background. It's such a good looking game. This also just needs to be remastered.
Yep.
It would not take much to take out that, you know, soul capturing mechanic with the bosses, the touchscreen thing. It wouldn't take much to yank that right out. Just do a version of this that doesn't require two screens. Call it a day. Make it happen.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Okay. 2006, Nintendo DS Portrait of Ruin.
I feel like this is where it starts to get, like, each game on this list now, especially the DS games, like the portable ones, is like, okay, is this better than Super Castlevania IV? Like, that's kind of where I'm starting.
Yeah, I don't think that's much of a question. Like, yeah, is this better than Super Castlevania IV?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm close on that one. I don't think it tops Dracula's Curse.
I think that was my gut feeling. Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse, Portrait of Ruin, and then Super Castlevania IV. There's a lot of really cool stuff in Portrait of Ruin, and it is kind of a slog to get through the back half of the game.
Yeah, it's I like
the
this game.
The gimmick wears thin.
Yeah. Again, this is another one that I would love to have a collection on the TV where I don't have to play on a tiny screen on a DS and have it nice and remastered without any weird gimmicks or anything. I would very much love to do that and give this game another shot. I very much liked it. I didn't love it. I didn't even actually finish this one. But I do agree with the placement there. Yeah, that's I think that's 100% right.
Yeah, like the swapping between the characters was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, all of that's really cool, but, you know.
Then we have this masterpiece right here. I've never played this. I haven't either. Very few people have. This was 2007's Castlevania Order of Shadows for mobile phones. Now, when I say mobile, we're talking 2007 mobile phones.
App stores.
Yeah, vertical screen orientation flip phones. This game is awful.
Is this worse than
Haunted Castle?
I don't know, so I'm going to say no.
I have watched playthroughs of this one. Let me look at this one more time. So here's the thing about Order of Shadows. There's an emulated version of it that you can get, apparently, that stretches the screen out, so it's not in a vertical orientation anymore, and that's kind of neat. This game is butt.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. Put it at the bottom. I've played... Haunted Castle, it's terrible.
Haunted Castle is trash, but it does have good music. This game is trash, and it doesn't have good music.
All right, it goes to the bottom.
Yeah, this game is butt, man. This is. I don't know how else to say it. I'm looking at the playthrough of it right now. It's just butt.
It is straight buns.
It is indeed. It's all choppy and shit. It is.
Yeah.
No.
Ambitious as hell. Good for you guys, but.
Yeah, way to try and put a Castlevania game on, like, flip phones back in the old days, but,
Yeah.
I mean, let's see. There's this fixed, quote-unquote, fixed version with the screen expansion. It doesn't run any better. Like, this game at its best through emulation is still butt. Yeah. I can't believe something beat Haunted Castle. But yeah, Order of Shadows belongs at the bottom of the list. But then we have, a year later, 2008 for the Nintendo DS, back in the area of greatness, Order of Ecclesia.
This game's fucking awesome.
This game is fucking awesome.
This game is awesome.
Obviously it tops Portrait of Ruin, right?
Yes.
Alright, we both agree on that. Where is it? Oh, is it above or below Dracula's Curse?
I think it is above Dracula's Curse.
Agreed. Rondo?
God, I mean, for me personally, yeah.
Yeah, I think me too.
That is a personal preference thing.
Yeah.
It is a Metroidvania, so it goes above Rondo for me.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't know that anything else is going to.
Agreed. But it's going to take a lot to top that. But
Order of Ecclesia is so good.
It's really, really good. Does it top Dawn?
I would put it above Dawn of Sorrow.
But you wouldn't put it above Aria, right?
I would not put it above Aria. I would put it above Dawn of Sorrow because it fixes Castlevania 2. It takes what Castlevania 2 was trying to do and is like... Oh, this is how you can do the town thing. Shinoa is such a cool character. Like, she looks cool, she moves cool. I really, really like this game.
Having just, you know, poked around on it, I haven't played Dawn of Sorrow in a long, long time, and I think you might be right about Order of Ecclesia. I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna put it between Aria of Dawn. I don't feel great about it, but at the same time, you make some excellent points.
It's such a good game. It's so hard. It's like, this is that the one knock, and the reason that I wouldn't put it above Aria of Sorrow is because there is a lot of grindiness to it, especially at the beginning, because it is so hard. It's one of the games where you really like, I know I was leveling up in other Castlevania games that I played, but like this one, I have to level up.
It really nailed the style.
Oh, it's so good.
It's such a stylish game. Really, really, really good game.
And it's a shame. I feel like this is the one that gets talked about the least.
Yeah, it was, you know,
it
was kind of late. We just had two of these games. Like, Castlevania fans were eating a little too good at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we were like, every year, I mean, it... you went Dawn of Sorrow in 2000. Like, just look at that fucking release list.
Yeah, it's like, nuts.
It's crazy. Circle of the Moon, Harmony of Dissonance, Lament of Innocence, fucking Dawn of Sorrow, or Aria of Sorrow. Fucking, like, it's just, it was every year there was like this new Castlevania thing. It was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And they were all good.
They were. I think Shinoa is a better character than the girl from Bloodstained.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I definitely like her character design better.
I like Bloodstained a lot. It's a really good game. I would 100% agree with you.
I also liked Bloodstained a lot. There was something about that game that was still missing for me. I thought it was great, but it still didn't have that. Still wasn't Castlevania. It was a really, really great Castlevania, like almost too much so in some cases. But
yeah, I think that is kind of what held it back. It was like, you can't make Castlevania, and you didn't go different enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good about that.
All right, here's something to not feel good about. Castlevania Judgment for the Wii from 2008. A one-on-one 3D fighting game with character designs by... Death Note?
Yeah.
That were just completely insane. And I know some people think the whole, like... Maria Renard, right? Young Maria was the character that's going around like talking about everyone's boobs. Like, they're like a holy gift. I mean,
this has got to go below Legends, right?
That's a tough call, just because the game does have a phenomenal soundtrack, and it's actually not bad to play. Like,
so. Below Vampire Killer, above the 64 game. I've never played it.
I hate the character designs in this game so very much. I think the story's absurd. I think it's better than Legends because at least it's more interesting and it's got a really good soundtrack. And I think that might be what put it above 64, but I don't know that it's a better game than Vampire Killer. Just in terms of...
Yeah.
Is it better than 64? Yes, because it functions. It's not as broken as 64, so I'll throw it above... I'll throw Judgment a bone and put it just above 64, but it's not beating Vampire Killer, it's not beating Legacy of Darkness.
All right.
Okay, this is a solid one. 2009, Castlevania The Adventure Rebirth for WiiWare. This is a really good, one of the best, like, 2D action Castlevania games, I think.
Yeah. So does this go above Super Castlevania 4?
No.
Okay. Chronicles?
I'm looking somewhere closer to Harmony of Dissonance.
I was thinking above Circle of the Moon, below Harmony of Dissonance.
I'm not sure if it tops Circle of the Moon, because I do really like Circle of the Moon.
I do too.
And this game's got some challenge issues, especially late game. Not that it's a super long game. I think it goes below Circle of the Moon.
Okay.
I think it's better than Lament of Innocence as being an action-y Castlevania. And I mean, Lament of Innocence was 3D and somewhat exploratory, but I do think it's a better game than Lament of Innocence because it doesn't have that real repetitive nature to it. But yeah, I don't think it's quite as good as Circle of the Moon. It's really good, but I don't think it's quite that good.
That's fair.
Okay, here's another one.
It's also weird that it is not a remake of Castlevania the Adventure.
Right? That's really strange.
That should also knock it down a point or two.
This like, should have just been called Castlevania Rebirth. I don't know what they were doing throwing... Like, okay, it's got the eyeballs in there, but that's kind of it.
That's kind of it, yeah.
All right, how do we feel about the original Castlevania Lords of Shadow for PS3 and 360 from 2010?
I really like this game.
I've never played it.
I really like this game. it is a way better, it is a way better 3D Castlevania than the previous 3D Castlevanias.
All right, so it definitely goes above Lament of Innocence.
Definitely goes above Lament of Innocence. It's Mercury Steam, and they make good games, right? Like, we know that.
Well, we know that now.
We do. So, like, it's kind of weird, right? Because Lament of Innocence was very Devil May Cry, and this was very God of War.
And God of War is very good.
God of War is very good. I really, like, I was really, really pleasantly surprised by this game. I would put it... Oh, man. I think I would put it right below Super Castlevania IV and above Chronicles.
Sold. I mean, you know, you got me.
I think this is a really good game. I really, really enjoy this game.
It's been on my list of things to play for so long. I own the damn thing.
The sequels, no. But this one, yeah.
That is like, what I have heard, that the sequels leave a lot to be desired. Though I did play a little bit of the Mirror of Fate. I didn't hate that one.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll burn that bridge when we get there. Okay.
We're getting there. We're almost done. Almost done.
All right. Castlevania Puzzle Encore of the Night.
Wherever. It's like, it's a puzzle game, you know?
I mean, it's Puzzle Fighter. It's
below Vampire Killer. I think,
fair,
right?
Done. So,
it's below Vampire Killer.
Yeah. Because, you know, Puzzle Fighter's great, but it loses so many points for a lack of any flavor of originality.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I don't know how to feel about this game. Castlevania Harmony of Despair from 2010, released on PSN and Xbox Live Arcade.
So this is the multiplayer one.
The multiplayer 2D one. I had a hard time getting into this game. I did play it online with some friends once or twice, and I thought it was a neat concept, but it really didn't click with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. It didn't quite click. I see what you were going for. I don't think you really got there.
I think it's better than Castlevania for N64.
Yes.
I think it's better than Castlevania Judgment. I think it's more interesting than Castlevania Puzzle. It actually, now that I'm thinking about it, has a lot of similarities to Vampire Killer, and I think it executes them a little bit better.
I think maybe below Legacy of Darkness and
maybe even above Legacy of Darkness.
I could see that too, below.
Because it's not as busted as Legacy of Darkness. We're still talking about an ugly ass N64 game. For as much as it gets right, it's not spectacular.
Should it then be above Kid Dracula?
It's definitely not above Simon's Quest.
Right.
Is it above Kid Dracula?
I think it probably is, right? I mean, because Kid Dracula is what it is.
And when played under the intended circumstances of it being a fun multiplayer thing. Yeah. All right. Let's do that.
All right. I'm good with that.
There you go.
Cut and paste.
There you go, folks. Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate for Nintendo 3DS, released in 2013. This game is extra special, fascinating now that we've played Metroid Dread.
Yeah.
About how much better this studio got with Nintendo's help.
Yeah. Way, way better.
Because that was, you know, and that's not just me being a Nintendo whore. That was like the interviews with the studio of everything they learned making Samus Returns on 3DS. Like, they were like, all right, we got the bones for it, and then Nintendo was like, all right, here's how you make what you do better. And boy, is that a great combination, because I think Mirror of Fate flirted with a lot of cool ideas, but it didn't really land, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this game. I was so excited, like, when Tiff got me my 3DS, She got me Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D and this game. And I was like, oh shit, because I hadn't even really paid that much attention to it, because it was like, I don't have a 3DS, and, you know, I love the DS games and the Game Boy Advance games so much, and I was bummed I didn't have a way to play the new 2D Castlevania. So when I finally got this, like, I jumped right into it, and I was so excited to start, and it just doesn't have any charm or soul to it. Like, it's not the worst game ever made, but
it's when really you're missing something.
Yeah, it just missed the mark completely. You know, it's definitely down here in this, like, Kid Dracula. Like, I think it's probably above Kid Dracula, but probably below Harmony of Despair.
Yeah, because it's less interesting. At least yeah. Harmony of Despair is this, like, this is a weird-ass multiplayer Castlevania thing.
Yeah.
All right. Lords of Shadow 2. Never played this. Heard it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
2014, PS3 and 360.
I don't know how they fucked this up so bad. Like, I really don't. It's so weird.
Is it better or worse than Castlevania 64?
I mean, I think it's definitely better than that.
Is it better than a puzzle game?
You play as Dracula. It's weird.
That is weird.
Like, there's a lot of really... Like, it's... There was some... again, this was like Mercury Steam being like, we have some really cool ideas. But, like... yeah. I think this probably goes right below Mirror of Fate.
Okay.
Yeah. That seems fair about enough. Right.
You like it more than Kid Drac, huh? All right.
I mean, Kid Dracula, you know, again... Well, like,
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
And then we have, last and possibly least, Castlevania Grimoire of Souls. Mobile platforms, 2019, re-released on Apple Arcade just a few months ago, or a month ago, or whatever.
It's so good that I've downloaded it and haven't even opened it yet.
It ain't great. It does it flirts with some good ideas. But it's very much a mobile game.
Yeah. You play it. You tell me.
I gotta put this one... Would I rather play this than Castlevania the Adventure? And we're not talking Order of Shadows and Haunted Castle here. Like, it's bad, but it's not bad. That's just it. It's fine.
It's fine.
So, Castlevania the Adventure, I think it tops that, and therefore tops Legends, but I don't even think it beats Castlevania for N64.
All right.
And, yeah, I think we did it, Dan.
There it is.
I think we did it.
I feel really good about this list, Chris.
How many was this? I'm going to
throw
this in a Google sheet here. Let's see. New.
Yeah.
Because I'm not counting. I'm way too tired for that shit. Well, 34.
Just make it a numbered list.
34 games. Boom.
Done.
Yeah, I could have just made it a numbered list. That would have made way more sense.
You could have. Me I'm going to do that for you in your script.
Lack of brain. I'm so tired. All right, yeah. 34 games. So, here we go. Final rankings of Castlevania games in honor of the Halloween season. In 34, in dead last, the mobile game Castlevania Order of Shadows. 33, arcade 1988 Haunted Castle. 32, Castlevania the Adventure, Game Boy 1989. 31, Game Boy 1997, Castlevania Legends. Number 30, mobile platforms, 2019, Castlevania Grimoire of Souls. Number 29, Nintendo 64, 1999, Castlevania. Number 28, for the Wii in 2008, Castlevania Judgment. Number 27, for mobile platforms in 2010, Castlevania Puzzle, Encore of the Night. Number 26, for MSX2 in 1986, Vampire Killer. Number 25, for Nintendo 64 in 1999, Castlevania Legacy of Darkness. Number 24, Kid Dracula, and I'm just going too slow. 23, Lords of Shadow 2. 22, Mirror of Fate. 21, Harmony of Despair. 20, Simon's Quest. 19, Belmont's Revenge. 18, Curse of Darkness. 17, Dracula X, 16, Bloodlines, 15, Lament of Innocence, 14, Castlevania The Adventure Rebirth, 13, Circle of the Moon, 12, Harmony of Dissonance, 11, Castlevania, 10, Chronicles, 9, Lords of Shadow, 8, Super Castlevania 4, 7, Portrait of Ruin, 6, Dracula's Curse, and the top 5... Number 5, Rondo of Blood. Number 4, Dawn of Sorrow. Number 3, Order of Ecclesia. Number 2, Aria of Sara. And number 1, Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, I feel good about that list. I feel like Lords of Shadow is kind of the outlier there. I feel like that would be the one that most people would disagree with.
Yeah, and being up that high, played it, I can't argue with it.
I do really, really like it. I do want to give you Polygon's top 10.
Okay.
Just to compare it. And they ranked a total of 36 games. They also ranked the Pachinko machine and Akamaju Dracula the Arcade in 2008. That was like a House of the Dead game.
Yeah, which we skipped.
Yeah. But, all right, so their top 10. They had at number 10, Portrait of Ruin. At number 9, Bloodlines. At number 8, the NES Castlevania. At number 7, Dawn of Sorrow. At number 6, Chronicles. At number 5, Order of Ecclesia. At number 4, Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. At number 3, Symphony of the Night. At number 2, Aria of Sorrow, and at number 1, Rondo of Blood.
That's okay. They're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess it really all depends on what kind of games you like better. I mean, Rondo of Blood's a freaking masterpiece, but I also think that, you know, it's got to be at least some degree of over-romanticizing that game.
I mean, I would agree with that.
I don't know that I could convince myself that it tops the stuff that we put it on its list. But
no, I've gone back to that game a bunch of times. I've played through it a bunch of times. I do really, really like it. But man, once Castlevania hit that Metroidvania style, it's like, man, this is fucking awesome. Super, super into this. Yeah, I feel really good about our list. Symphony of the Night is perfect. It's a perfect game.
Absolutely phenomenal. And that is going to do it, because I don't know about you, but I am falling apart.
Yep.
And I was all ready, so ready to get a good night's sleep last night and just be ready to do this. But, no. Man, Ellie was like, no, I'm going to have a nightmare about an owl and I'm going to keep you up.
Kids really are the worst.
They're terrible. Don't recommend them.
No, God, don't have them. I mean, no, have them. Like, so that you can have people do chores for you, especially if you have non-housebroken foster dogs. You should definitely have children. They're very helpful in those instances.
Okay, everyone. Oh, sorry.
Couldn't mute that
was.
One.
No, you know what? You did close. A great job.
I've been doing really good. Been doing really good. Clicking my little mute button here. You guys haven't even fucking heard me.
Well, the way to keep it easy for Evan. Good job. All right, that's our show. Join us next week when we'll be covering the October 10, 20, 30, 40, featuring games like Quicks or Kicks or however you say it, Toe Jam and Earl, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, and more. We're on most social media platforms, and if you want to get in touch with us, we aren't very difficult to find. All it takes is a quick look at our show notes, and you'll see links to our social media accounts, as well as all manner of other fun stuff, like a link to our namesake, StoneAgeGamer.com, the Geekade Patreon, which helps keep this show running week after week, and more useful links than you can shake a joystick at. This show's theme song, Squared Roots, was written by Banjo Guy Owley. You can learn all about his wonderful music and more by following the link to his YouTube channel, also in the show notes. And finally, as always, we'd like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks, and we'd like to thank all you folks for listening in the first place. That's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games. Castlevania.